Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Final hour. Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How you doing?
Hey now. I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. So, PK, we were discussing this earlier. I mean, obviously, the AFC South last year was terrible. I mean, you had Houston and Indianapolis. The Titans lost seven games in a row. Jacksonville ends up winning the division. It's certainly different this year with a couple of new coaches coming in, some quarterback changes. Do you think it's better? Do you think it's worse? How do you view the AFC South as we sit here today on June 21st?
Well, I think Houston and Indianapolis are trending up, but I don't know that it necessarily shows up in their record. I mean, teams with first year quarterbacks, unless you know those guys kind of, and I've been saying this kind of about the Titans. You know, Levis didn't land in Nashville, and it didn't set off a bomb, right? Yeah, to hear the Colts reporters talk about Richardson, they're making it sound like he is setting off a bomb. I didn't hear so much about Stroud that way. Now, they should both energize those teams. The Texans are a more dramatic makeover. I think they should both be more competitive, but I don't see either of them doing a huge turnaround. I think it's more of a gradual thing. But look, there's mystery. There's mystery all over the league. That's part of what makes the league so great. And a lot of these teams, the Titans play, not just in the AFC South, but on the rest of their schedule, have a lot of mystery to them. The same way the Titans have a lot of mystery to them, and we don't really know what you're going to get. I think it'd be hard for the AFC South to be as bad as it was last year.
You wrote, PK, about a great word, QB conundrum, with Malik Willis, you know, showing some improvement this spring. Will Levis, to me, looking like a rookie. I can't say I was all that surprised by either one or that they would be close. First of all, just how what's your final analysis of them? And do you think that when it comes down to it, you get to the end of August, that this is trending toward a team that's going to have three quarterbacks on its active roster?
I still don't think it's trending that way. I think we read too much into six practices that we saw unpadded and all of that. First, let's talk about them independently, right? Levis, like I said, didn't come in and drop a bomb where you said, oh, this guy is going to be, you know, something special. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be, right? But it wasn't like an immediate, like, whoa. Willis, you know, looked better than he looked. But he was terrible as a rookie. And a lot of the things that he looked better at, you know, some decision-making and all of that, wasn't in speed, in pads, in the situations where he was really bad last year. So does it translate? You know, I'm skeptical. You know, I need to see it in a bigger situation. I talked about this on my podcast. Tell me if you disagree. But I think we're doing – I understand why we would look at Levis versus Willis based on the fact that they're two, you know, back-to-back seasons of relatively high draft picks. But what we need to see from Levis is glimpses of Tannehill. In a year, he's going to replace Tannehill in the grand playing. And we didn't see that at all. Measuring him against Willis, who was terrible last year, is not a great starting point. And, I think too much is being made of that comparison on a day-to-day basis. I still think it'll be a two-quarterback team. And I did a piece where I looked at every three-quarterback situation from last year. There's nothing comparable. There's no team that had two young quarterbacks. And if you think about it, I mean, that third quarterback is a holding spot that's a developmental thing. And if Tannehill went down and they had those two guys, if they're something similar to what we saw, they'd really they wouldn't say it, but they'd be shifting into a whole different mode.
Paul Kuharsky with us here from paulkuharsky.com. And, PK, we were discussing Derrick Henry and his future yesterday. He's got 1 year left on his deal, and we see the running back market right now. And guys like Saquon Barkley can't get a long-term deal. Jonathan Taylor's talking about the balls in the hands of the Colts in terms of extending him with his contract, and those are younger guys than Derrick Henry. So we know the running back market is devalued, and that when Derrick Henry becomes available, there's not going to be a huge market for him based on his age and the workload that he's had and all those things. So do you think that makes it more likely that he's back with the Titans next year, just given what the market could be, or maybe more accurately won't be, for him after this season?
I think it depends on Spears to a degree. I think it depends on the season that Derrick Henry has. And I think it depends on just how much the Titans are being proactive and want to be a year early instead of a year late on Henry. It turns into such bad feelings, right? And it's so weird with Henry. Like, he's absolutely the key to the offense in so many ways, yet he's a guy that kind of holds them back in some ways, because he's a first and second down guy. And it's just kind of such an interesting twist on things. And so I don't know, but I'm with you. I think there will be very little market for him. And I think, there's almost a degree of, I don't want to say shame, but like, what they'll offer him will be insulting based on what he will have done. And then the whole dynamic of feelings and everything has the potential to change. But I think it's more likely than not, Joe, tell me if you agree, that he's not here next year, and that they just decide, like, hey, he's going to drop off. And I don't know why I have that gut feeling, because I do think he'll run for 1,400 yards this year.
No, I mean, that would be my guess now, too, but I agree. I mean, I could see – I mean, I think the market's going to be very soft, and I could see him being back, and it is going to be insulting. But it's also – it's one of those things where it's like, I mean, look around. I mean, we're talking about the Colts unsure about Jonathan Taylor right now. You know, Dalvin Cook, see ya. I mean, it's – and so he has to – you have to keep it – he has to keep it in the right context, too, because he's already an outlier. PK –
And they've treated him quite well.
Yeah.
To this point, for a guy who, as good as he is, in the three down player.
Yeah, for sure. And it is. I hadn't thought about it in terms of holding them back, but it is like, what teams out there are going to accommodate what he kind of needs, you know? And that's the hard part with him, and probably what they found out when they were trying to find out what he might bring back in a trade. So
that's the question, beyond this year. Can he be good without 22 carries, and are they going to want to give him that?
Right. Stop interrupting my question. I'm trying to ask you, damn it. DeAndre Hopkins, what is your read? What is going to happen? Obviously, neither of these teams offered him what he was hoping for, right, which is exactly what I figured would happen. But how do you see this playing out? Just basically like, get a few weeks into camp, and I guess I'll sign with someone, or maybe someone gets desperate.
Yeah, or he he kind of plays the long – I feel more like he'll play the long game and maybe somebody will get hurt somewhere and he'll find a team with a better quarterback. I don't know. The thing that keeps echoing for me and is the thing that he doesn't like to practice, and I just don't know how Vrabel makes an exception for that when that's such an important thing to him. But at the same time, they need him so desperately. So I just don't know. But, I mean, there's no indication as to what he's going to do. And there's no reason anything would happen between now and, say, you know, the beginning of the end of July. Everybody goes on vacation. Very little business is done. There's nothing for him to do if he were to sign. And so, you know, I'd say end of July, decision time at best. And guys like this don't generally like to be around for the beginning of camp. They can buy themselves with this waiting thing, 2 weeks off of camp.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, the Paul Kuharsky Podcast, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, great stuff, man. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always a good time, boys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Lots to react to with PK coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Symphony perform the music of Led Zeppelin at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on June 25th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, caller number 5, will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Symphony perform the music of Led Zeppelin at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on June 25th. Rex Road could end up there. We'll see.
That sounds awesome to me. And thank you for playing the Beatles.
Yeah, I noticed that.
You're welcome, Robbie.
I just decided to talk as long as possible over it. Didn't work.
That was good, though. Then we heard more Beatles.
Yeah. That is true.
Kind of worked against you there, buddy.
Kind of didn't work. Oh, boy. 615-737-1025, our phone number. So it was interesting to get PK's take on the Derrick Henry part of this that we discussed yesterday, too. Like, it is a really interesting situation with him, but just because I don't see Derrick Henry playing football this year and then saying, all right, that's it. I'm done. I mean, I guess he could, but I would think that Derrick Henry, especially if he looks like Derrick Henry that he looked like last year and he stays healthy and he runs for another 1,300, 1,400, 1,500 yards, like he's going to want to keep playing football. When I don't blame him. But what's the market going to be for a 30-year-old running back who, as PK said, I mean, a lot of teams, you know, they don't really play football that way. They certainly don't want to pay a 30-year-old running back, and they don't want to pay a 30-year-old running back that's a first and second down runner and it's not really a third down back. I mean, the market for him beyond this year is such an interesting thing to think about. And that's if he, you know, it's one thing if he comes out this year and he just totally falls off a cliff and he doesn't look like the same player. Like, it's pretty easy to see what the market's going to be at that point. But even, right. I mean, even if he comes out this year and he runs for 1,600 yards, like, you would think it would be a no-brainer that there would be a lot of interest in Derrick Henry. And I just don't know what that's going to look like after this year, both from the Titans standpoint and the league standpoint.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in that hypothetical scenario, he has another really good year, still looks great, but there's all these other questions that we've talked about. One thing on his side is, like, I guess trying to convince people, I can still be a good weapon for you, you know, 10, 12 carries a game, be part of a rotation, you know. I can go out and catch the ball. Okay, can take a screen, you know, and get 50 yards. I mean, because it's just I don't think there's anybody out there who's going to be like, yes, not only let's pay him, but let's build things around him. This is the place where that has been done. And when it was done, it led to tremendous prosperity for the Titans. Got them within a half of the Super Bowl, you know, and it's led to this really good era. I don't know if it's a golden era, but it's a very good era of Titans football.
Silver era?
Yeah, sure.
Bronze?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what it would be.
I mean, if Titans football, it would be the silver era.
Because it was the second best era, is
correct.
That what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Okay, silver era. It's pretty good.
Is that how that
now,
works?
I'm just totally making stuff up. Now I'm thinking of, I'm having flashbacks to the Silver Rush, the Lions.
Oh, yes.
The Silver Rush. But it's just, and that's, and I agree with Garcia. That like, yeah, like shame isn't the word, but it is. Like, it's going to be insulting. No matter, basically, no matter what happens after this year, it's going to be insulting. It is. It's gonna, but again,
but that's just the way it is,
yes,
right now.
It is. It, and that's, if you're him, like, you have to just take it as, like, this is the sad reality for your position, man. And even in the context of your position, you are a throwback. So, it's, you know, it's been a special thing here. And, again, I think it could be really good. I mean, we've seen this offense, and that's what people want to forget, is that we've seen this offense be balanced and dangerous and still modern,
right,
with him as a featured component. So, it's not like that can't happen. It happens when you have good blocking, receiving, and coordinating to go with him.
Well, and what would that look like for another team? Like, can he be effective running the ball 15 times a game? And look, that for a lot of teams, one back getting 15 carries, that's a lot for some of these teams. It just doesn't happen.
Exactly. That's you're gonna have to be, you know, like, this is the last year to me that I feel confident saying this, that Derrick Henry is gonna be a 20 plus carry, unless it's here,
right?
You know, and it works out well, and the Titans are like, you know what, and then, you know, it's interesting, the Draymond Green thing's going out there, he declines the option, which is no surprise. I think he'll still end up with the Warriors. I was listening to Tim Legler talk on ESPN yesterday about Draymond's situation, and he's like, you know, he's going to get overpaid. He's going to get more money than you would think at his age. You know, now obviously anybody who knows basketball knows how valuable he is on both ends of the floor to them, but still, like, he's going to get overpaid for where he is in his career. But it's kind of like a career achievement thing. It's like rewarding him for what he has done, but it doesn't happen like that in the NFL.
No.
But if ever there was a case to be made for that, they are going to have cap space next year. Yes, the cap is a factor here. It's not the only factor. It is a factor. And, you know, if Amy Adams Strunk wants to say, you know what, just let's give this guy a little extra. I mean, Robert Kraft, like, bought Tom Brady a Greek island. I'm convinced of it during all those years. You know, Amy Adams Strunk, make it right. Just give him some extra. Maybe give him a little side cash, whatever it is. As a sort of reward for what he has done here.
Well, I brought up a team yesterday, and by no means do I think that, like, this is going to be where Derrick Henry ends up after this year. But I just brought it up as an example. The Eagles, right? We think of them as kind of, you know, we just saw them go to the Super Bowl. They've got A.J. Brown. They've got, you know, Jalen Hurts had just signed the gigantic deal there. They're a high-flying offense. Miles Sanders was a big part of that last year. Now, he's not there anymore, but he ran for – he had 259 carries in 17 games. So that's right about 15 carries a game for Philadelphia last year. Like, that type of a role, would somebody be interested in Derrick Henry for that, whether it's a Philadelphia or somewhere else?
I mean, imagine him specifically there.
In there, yeah.
With what they do, with what Hurts does, with the creativity of the run game, with those receivers, and if they could get him for, like, $5 million?
I mean
– Yeah, you telling me that he can't, you know, push one in from the two?
Well, and it's
you're telling
like,
me he's not going to rip off a, you know, a 30-40 yarder here and there, you know, and be a problem for the opposing defense?
Well, it's not like Miles Sanders is some just menace catching the ball out of the backfield. He had 20 catches last year. I mean, Derrick Henry had more catches than he did last year. So, I mean, there are roles out there. It's just few and far between in today's NFL, and especially when you're talking about a 30-year-old back. That's the other thing. Miles Sanders, 25 last year.
Yep. Nah, it's, I mean, the main takeaway for Derrick Henry is enjoy the heck out of this year, because it's very possible that this is the last year that he is a featured offensive player in this league, which is, again, it's crazy to think about, but I think that's a reality. And then, yeah, it's going to get really, really interesting. If, like you said, if you see the actual decline and everything, then we know how things go and will go. But if he still looks like Derrick Henry, boy, is it going to be interesting after this year.
Well, and even from Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon's standpoint, I mean, you know, well, at least I think you know, that your plan is for Will Levis to be your starting quarterback in 2024. And weighing the options of how beneficial would it be, even at 30 years old, to just have Derrick Henry as a weapon for him. Like, how much does that factor into it as well at the end of this year? I mean, I think it's something you at least got to think about.
Right. And, I mean, look, Derrick Henry also, by the way, is a leader on this team. He's evolved into that. I mean, his first few years, probably, you know, a very quiet guy and all that, playing behind DeMarco Murray and everything, but he's become one of those important voices in the locker room too.
Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice is Yours. I'm in the questions chair today. We'll see how that goes. Sports and non-sports, we'll take your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.
This, we all have choices to make.
This,
like right now. It's The Choice is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. The choice is yours. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate today at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. I am in charge today. We're going sports. We're going non-sports. What do y'all want?
We'll let the abandoner
sports.
Pick.
Sports. Let's go sports. I always go non-sports.
Okay, so we'll go sports. All right, in honor of the Tennessee Titans wearing throwback jerseys this year, at some point, your favorite throwback jersey of all time. And I can go first if y'all need some time to think about this. I actually have two.
I already know my answer.
Go ahead.
The Seattle Supersonics.
Ooh,
okay. I love the Sonics uniforms. I
like
am
Packers.
Very mad that, yeah, they do look like the Packers. I'm first off very mad that there's not an NBA team in Seattle. I know they have a WNBA team, not an NBA team. You need to bring the Sonics back. We need to have an expansion. Those uniforms need to come back. The franchise needs to come back. I love everything about them. Every version of the Sonics uniforms. If I could get myself a vintage jersey, I totally would, because they are awesome and hands down my favorite uniform.
Okay. The Sonics.
Yeah, those are very cool. I agree. Those are awesome. Sean Kemp, baby. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
Really?
If you go, what? Yeah, absolutely. If you go back to the... Go back to the 90s, and on Thanksgiving for at least a couple of years, you can find this Barry Sanders and company wore them. This is when it was great to watch the Lions, when they had Barry Sanders. And they're just awesome. They're very simple, but it's the same color scheme. I think the Honolulu blue and silver are fantastic. And they're just very simple. But, you know, it's like you look at, like, well, like the Packers, for example, are just an eyesore to me, right? I mean, just horrific.
Atrocious yeah. on your part.
The Lions are sweet. So, yeah, I'm going to go Lions.
Okay.
Love my Lions.
Whoa.
I got two, which is cheating, but I'm going to do it anyway. The 90s Utah Jazz jerseys, I love.
Okay.
I think those things are awesome. The 90s Jazz jerseys with Stockton and Malone and all that, I think those things are great. And they've been wearing them as throwbacks lately, and every time I see them, I'm like, man, those things are awesome. So I'll go 90s Utah Jazz.
Way better than what they've been wearing the last 20 years.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. So I'll go 90s Utah Jazz, and I'll go 80s New England Patriots. I love those things. The classic throwbacks that the mm-hmm. Patriots have worn recently, too. You know, the Bucks are wearing the creamsicles this year, honorable mention. But
love
I'll
those.
Go 80s Patriots. 90s Utah Jazz.
Those are good. Now that we're thinking about this, the White Sox from the early 80s.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you just say?
Oh, I know. I mean, I hate the White Sox, but those White Sox with like the little like robot baseball player.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also the Padres of like the late 70s, early 80s with the script.
Yeah, those are good.
Yes. Honorable mention quick, Milwaukee Bucks, the purple with the big buck on the front.
Yeah.
Love those.
Is that throwback?
Yeah. They've been wearing them though. See, a lot of teams are
bringing them back.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I love the 90s Miami Heat uniforms, too. They're great.
Miami Vice? Kind of. Not those
okay.
ones.
They're okay. They're okay. All right, moving on to non-sports. Something you miss from your childhood that either no longer exists or is very limited. And I'm really thinking like either items or places here. So items or places from your childhood that you missed that either no longer exist or are very limited. And I can go first if we need some time to think about this. My answer is pretty simple. Growing up here in Nashville.
I know what it's going to be.
It's Opryland.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I was, I think five, maybe six when Opryland vacated the premises over there. I do have faint memories of it, but it would just be awesome if we had a theme park here growing up.
It's coming.
I know. But the Opryland experience, I've heard so many people. Like my parents spent a lot of time there. I do have memories of it. Like I remember some rides. I remember the Grizzly River Rampage and all that stuff. I lost my hat on there one time. Made me very upset. But I remember all those things. Opryland is an easy answer for me. And I have people tell me all the time how awesome Opryland was. And I'm sure some of that is because it was awesome. Some of that is probably nostalgia-based too, which I get all that. But Opryland is my answer.
What is yours, the ATEC or the Atari?
ATEC? I have an Atari you still at find home. It. But it, like, Katie bought me a vintage one, but like it stopped working.
Silverdome?
God, you know what? That is my answer. I was trying to think. No, it's got to be Tiger Stadium. But I love them both. Silverdome was such an absolute bleep hole, but so loud and just, I mean, that place could be crazy. But Tiger Stadium never, ever, ever, ever should have been torn down. It should have been preserved just like Fenway and just like Wrigley and
Lambeau.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible, for anybody who was there, cathedral. And it had its own issues and everything, but yeah, now I'm sad. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So I can't actually think of, you know, a place or anything like that. But the first thing that came to my mind, we were a big ice cream truck family. Oh, yeah. And when we would go to the town pool, the ice cream truck, one of my favorite things to get was the Choco Taco.
Tacos are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
They are huge discontinued.
Fan. What?
Yes.
Really?
The end of That's the era of a Choco Taco.
Why?
Which, I have no idea. But I remember as a little kid, you know, we would all, it would be a pool day at the town pool. It was in the neighborhood. And then you hear the ding, 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 ding.
Do they do that anymore?
I don't know.
I haven't seen an ice cream truck in a while. That could be missing it.
Yeah, we like last summer, yeah, we had one.
Actually, I think when I was house sitting, one came through the neighborhood. But you hear the noise. Everybody jumps out of the pool. Like, mom, money, please, money. Because obviously they only took cash at the time. And you like run up the hill, go
some
there.
Shady folks in those ice cream trucks sometimes.
And you would, you would get your.
What else are you selling in here?
You would get your Choco Taco. I mean, or the SpongeBob or the sour ones. I mean, there were so many options. But Choco Taco was definitely high on the list. Man. And I saw that they discontinued the other day, which is just an end of an era. You know?
Now I'm even more sad.
Right?
It's been a very depressing edition of The Choice Is Yours for Rex Rhodes.
I used to eat Choco Tacos at Tiger Stadium.
All right, back to sports. We're going to get a little bit deeper into the NBA draft tomorrow. We'll be joined by Casey Alexander at 7:30, so looking forward to that. Expectations around Victor Wembanyama. We talked about Chris Broussard and his comments of – basically, like, if it's career of Hakeem Olajuwon, it's going to be a disappointment, like all these things. So which player, and I've watched a lot of Victor Wembanyama over the last couple of years because my brother's been telling me about him for 3 years, but which player is a fair expectation for him in your mind? It could be anybody that's ever played before, a fair expectation for the career that Victor Wembanyama should have.
God, that's a tough question because he really is a – hybrid, right? I mean, to me, it's like I've watched maybe not as much as you have, but enough that I would say, like, he does remind me of Kevin Durant.
He does.
He reminds me of Kevin Durant, except like he's
5 inches
much
taller.
Bigger. Like, it's absurd. And I think his ball skills are actually better than Kevin Durant's ball skills, which is ridiculous too. Like, his handle, I think, is better than Kevin Durant's, and he's 5 inches taller. What?
The guy that comes to mind to me, and this the thing is, it's a bad comparison because I think he's going to be a better shooter. I think it's Giannis. Like, just the length, the athleticism, the ability to get down, get it done on both ends of the floor. Like, I think he's going to be really good in that area. So Giannis is probably the one that I would say, but I think he's a better shooter than Giannis is.
Yeah, and Giannis is such a physical force.
Right.
Like, Giannis to me is almost like a taller, in some ways, like LeBron in terms of once he gets going downhill, like, you have no chance. And I don't think this he's going to be that. But I hear you. I think defensively, that's the difference, too.
He's going to be a problem.
He is going to be a total difference maker as a rim protector.
Yep.
Who can then rip it and go. And it's there's not a perfect – I'll stick with Durant. I think offensively he'll be more like him than any post, you know, player that we talk about. It's going to be fascinating. But yeah, the Hakeem Olajuwon, Broussard, stop it.
Yeah, he's
only one of the greatest, you know,
players of all time.
I mean, I don't know if people saw on Twitter, but the picture going viral of him holding the baseball, and it quite literally looks like a ping pong ball in his hands. He's a really hard one because I honestly want to do a combination of a Giannis and a KD because of, first off, he's not a big bodied guy like he doesn't have really like meat on the bones like a Jokic, and that's not the type of his game, or even like a Karl Anthony Towns, who's been one of the big guys we've seen have that outside shot. But he's big, but he's not like a five, like he's not like a post guy because he is so skinny. I guess I'll go Kevin Durant would be fair, and that's in quotes because obviously Kevin Durant is he's up there with one of the best basketball players we've seen. But it's a hard one. I mean, you talk about expectations. People are saying that, you know, he's a better prospect than LeBron.
I was really hoping one of y'all would say LeBron.
I don't think
better
so.
Better be what he is.
Yeah.
Or it's a failure.
Yeah, I guess I'll go KD, but Giannis, a combination of the both. I know that's cheating.
By the way, I'm shortchanging Chris Broussard. He actually said if he's AD, KD, or Hakeem, it's a failure.
What?
AD, KD, or Hakeem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, by the way,
flat out be better than all those guys.
Anthony Davis does not belong in the same conversation as KD and Hakeem. That's okay.
True. It's fair.
Yeah, his career's been...
I mean, he was good this postseason.
Sure.
All right.
Got to stay healthy.
Back to non-sports. In honor of Rex Rhodes' trip to Bonnaroo, you can camp somewhere for 4 days. Where would you most enjoy it? Four straight days of camping. Where would you most enjoy it? I can go first. I have a very specific location in mind.
Yeah, you go.
I saw a Horseshoe Bend one time in Arizona, in Page, Arizona. It's right by the Colorado River. It's awesome down there, and there's like this little campsite down there by Horseshoe Bend. That's what I'd choose. 4 days, Colorado River, okay, in Arizona.
This is a very hard one because
it can be Bonnaroo.
I do not like camping. I'm a glamping type girl. I need a bed. I think mine would be in Bali, if that's allowed, if we're allowed to go international.
Sure.
I watched a movie with Clooney, a new movie, and they're in Bali, and it's just so beautiful. So I think I could do camping there, beach, sand. But like I said, much more of a glamping type girl than camping.
I hadn't even considered like a beach. I mean, I guess I could say like Maui. I just sleep on the beach in Maui. But if we actually have to do some kind of camping, yeah, actually, I'm going to say Bonnaroo.
I knew you would. I
mean, like,
really?
Yeah. I mean, we actually talked about it. Like, we talked about this week. Like, well, let's see what the lineup looks like next year. I don't know if that's 4 days of that, maybe a bit much. But like, if I'm going to camp,
then, 182 next year?
If I can, oh, God, let's
Creed.
Hope. If I can walk to see concerts every day, then, you know, that's better than like walking in the woods or something. And
I feel like you two are giving really soft answers.
Stung
here.
By a snake, very soft.
Soft answers? Yeah. Okay.
Stung by a snake.
A lot of stinging power.
Wow.
Maybe
you should go to Bonnaroo.
Oh, you know where I would camp? And this is probably another soft answer. On some vineyard in California. There you go. Set me up there. Set me up on a vineyard somewhere in the vines. I don't know if that counts, but.
Well, you've got some good ideas on camping.
615-737-1025, our phone number. This has been The Choice is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:30. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, your thoughts on the Vols, elimination last night to LSU, everything on the table coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at PhD Weight Loss.
Sorry, technical difficulties here. Yes, thank you. I do have a word from PhD Weight Loss. Thank you very much, Robbie. And here's what I want to tell you, okay? 7 weeks, 22 and a half pounds, and I'm feeling great. I'm loving the food items. No pills, no gimmicks, no suppressants, no cravings. This feels good. It feels sustainable. That's a big thing, right? Huge thing for people who want to lose weight. You can lose weight. Can you keep it off? This is what they call a, quote, plateau-busting program, okay? If you've tried to lose weight, you know what a plateau is. You stall out eventually at some point, and basically you end up quitting. The constant care here with PHGA Weight Loss is a difference maker. It's a program that's designed for you. It's tweaked for you. And, of course, it makes the word plateau irrelevant. You're coached. You're motivated. You're going to know what's happening to your body, getting rid of the visceral fat that can do so much damage to it. All of this helps a lot. It's simple and easy. Weekly phone discussions with that coach, and there's a guarantee. If you don't get within 5 pounds of your target weight at the end of your program, PHD will continue to coach you for free until you do. Join me now. You won't regret it. Visit myphdweightloss.com.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. The Titans on the table, Tennessee eliminated last night by LSU, 5-0, so they fall in the College World Series, and they are eliminated. LSU taking on Wake Forest today. They're going to have to beat Wake Forest twice, so we'll see what happens on that front. Apparently, Jared Stillman has a problem with your Tennessee article from yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he's been blowing me up. Like, yeah, I had one line in there, which is that, you know, this was a disappointing Tennessee season in terms of, you know, preseason number two and some of the individual performances, right? I mean, in the final outcome, if you said going to the year, okay, this team will get to Omaha and win a game in Omaha, that's not a disappointment. But preseason number two means – there's only one team with a better chance of winning a national championship than you.
Correct.
So, and, you know, there was a lot of disappointment in the season, right? But he's basically saying, like, that's like saying the Florida Panthers season was a disappointment. But
who was preseason number one?
Actually, I believe it was LSU. So at least, makes sense. At least the team that beat them was, LSU. And then, of course, eventually Wake Forest passed them. But, yeah, LSU was as loaded as they are. So, but anyway, yeah, look, I'm not sitting here saying in final analysis, the Vols, it was a disappointment, but it was a disappointing season in terms of there was disappointment along the way. And some things about this team were absolutely disappointing, just weren't as good as they were supposed to be. You had your top starter bounce to the bullpen, and you had your number two starter, and then your top starter ends up with like a 4.6 ERA and, you know, doesn't pitch well. And I mean, like, they weren't as good in some spots as they were supposed to be.
Well, I think the ride to the regular season was rockier than most people anticipated that it would be. Now, they eventually turned it around.
Yeah.
And it's great. Fantastic. Credit to them. But certainly the ride was a little bit rockier than most people expected it to be. And now, you know, where do you go from here if you're Vitello? I am interested to see the transfer portal this offseason. Like, how much do they add? And then on the flip side, how much do they lose? Like, is there a danger of Chase Burns going somewhere else? Like, could there be, you know, there are programs all the time where it just feels like somebody that you don't expect to leave just all of a sudden ups and leaves. Like, does that happen with Tennessee and Tony Vitello? It's just, in today's world of college athletics, it's never really a foregone conclusion that everybody's coming back.
Yeah.
That you expect.
And you just, you know, it's funny because you're talking about the portal. And actually, it was some people were wondering if he might be a part of this yesterday, but remember a year ago, one of the big like scores for LSU in the portal was Christian Little from Vanderbilt.
Yep.
I mean, who has fantastic stuff, and you know, 2 years at Vanderbilt, he didn't put it all together. Obviously, he didn't put it all together this year either. He just didn't pitch a lot and didn't have good numbers. But you never know too. Sometimes you go to a different place, grass is always greener, and it doesn't end up as good for you. I mean, Chase Burns to me, like, yeah, who knows? There's always different factors. And look, there are offers out there and things like that. That's what happens, right? But man, I would think that he would be in pretty good shape coming back to Tennessee and being the Friday starter.
I would think so too. And you know, with Drew Beam coming back in there too, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch that Tennessee should have next year. If things go to plan for Tony Vitello this offseason, it is interesting to watch now. I mean, you know, obviously our local interest here of the College World Series is now largely out the door with Tennessee not there.
I'm into LSU Wake Forest today again.
You going to watch the whole thing?
I mean, maybe. It'll be on.
Yeah.
I may go make a sandwich. But I'm excited about
it. Golf tournament coming up this weekend. You going to watch that?
God. As someone pointed out, Nashville SC, very good. Hani Mukhtar.
Yeah, they just don't
fantastic.
Lose.
Fantastic. So, you know, we do. Yeah, when I say off season for all sports, it's they carry the mantle.
That
the sounds, the yeah. sounds are always absolutely worth going out to see. So, yeah, there's stuff.
WNBA.
The draft, WNBA is going on. The draft is coming here. SEC Media Day.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God. Get excited.
I'm actually sad I'm missing that.
Are you?
I'll call in on Kentucky State.
Are you?
I like it. Everybody hates on it so hard.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's just not much that gets accomplished there.
I will say there's actually stuff to talk about. I mean, conference realignment, NIL, all that jazz.
I know. But even like NIL, it's like at some point it's like, what else are we going to say here? You know?
True.
Here's money. A lot of money.
Ask if you Everybody can get an NIL deal,
money.
Joe. I don't know.
I should get an NIL deal. Like gout medicine.
I'm just interested. I mean, anytime Jimbo Fisher talks, I'm cool with it, man. Whether he's talking about how great of an academic institution Texas A&M is, or the oil money, and
that's true.
All this other stuff. There are some individuals there that I really enjoy.
If that would have been fresh coming into this, I would be excited, right? Like that thing would be exciting.
It's a great academic institution, ain't it?
Well, Saban was whining the other day about how they would have been favored of out of three of the four college football playoff teams. So, I mean, he's got some spicy stuff always.
We may need to do a segment on that tomorrow. I forgot about that. We don't have time now.
He's probably right.
Great. You were favored to beat Tennessee.
You were
great. You were favored to beat LSU. What the hell does that matter?
I'm just telling you.
We were going to be favored. Now,
I'm just telling you the
Saban's
comments
Saban's invoking
you said.
Vegas. Ah,
he's probably God. Right. They probably would have been favored.
Get out of here, man.
I don't think they would have been favored against Georgia.
Yeah, three of the four. Three,
yeah, they would not have been. They would have been favored. Great, you would have been favored against TCU.
Well,
earned your way into the playoffs.
We've
Nick.
Given.
Don't
Nick
lose
Saban.
To Tennessee and LSU, Nick.
We've given Nick Saban some credit about his comments about is this really what we want college football to be? And you even talked about the comments he made a few weeks ago at the SEC meetings about I'm not against putting a union together and let's organize this thing. Speaking for the good of the game. So we knew that wasn't going to last. I mean, at some point, you got to get back to, what benefits Alabama the most? We'll talk about it.
Exactly.
He's the football czar.
Back on message there. By the way, and we definitely – how many seconds do we have?
A minute.
Five. Okay. Did you guys see at all the new NCAA president when he was interviewed the other day?
No.
During the College World Series.
Yeah. Nope.
It was interesting. He was talking about – maybe we can talk about this tomorrow, but the – I was glad to hear him say, because one of the guys was like, well, what about having a cap on NIL? He's like,
That's not going to happen.
But what he did say is what it would be good is because there is so much misinformation, so much lying, to have all the contracts be – and I'm with that. Let's have the market be publicly discussed, and then people don't have to get fooled and taken advantage of. I'm all for that. So you know what? NCAA president, I think it's an upgrade.
Joe Milton, Bazooka Joe, a lot of marketing opportunities.
Man,
did you guys ever
chew Bazooka gum?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he should.
Big League Chew better though.
Maybe, but Bazooka Joe. Can you imagine the possibilities with that?
It's the second time we brought up Joe Milton today. Just saying.
More to come.
There's much more.
Trust
to come.
Us. We
much
may
more
we may lose Michelle, but we're not going to lose our
we're
Joe Milton.
We're not going to lose our Tear. Conversation on Joe Milton. No question about that. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day today. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.